Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Make It Sound Fiction podcast. This is episode 2. We're here again. I'm Nico, also known as Apple Cider, and I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Tyler.
Yeah. We're going to be coming back to you this week, talking more about all the sorts of pop culture and media stuff that we like. We got such a great amount of praise and applause for our first episode, so yeah. We figured we might as well keep doing this, maybe.
Yeah, I think people liked what we had to say about E3, complaining about E3, the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, I was also going to say that I feel bad that I don't have an also known as. You get to be like, I'm also known as Apple Cider.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, maybe you'll be cool enough one day to have a second name, but until then,
yeah.
You're just Tyler. I mean, it's all about your brand, and you just didn't build a brand around another name.
I wouldn't build a brand around a fruit, so.
Well, clearly that's why you don't have a second fucking name, so, you know.
Yeah. I mean, my Twitch is a different name, but that's not necessarily my brand.
No, I mean, it would be funny if we could call you Otter all the time, because I think that's adorable, but...
nothing else I have is... It's not like my Battle.net, my Overwatch name is Otter. It's not, so...
Yeah.
Because yours is Apple Cider, so...
Yeah, so it's, like, consistent naming is something I jumped on, really quickly when I started doing this sort of stuff, but yeah, you're, so normal and have, your real name, and I don't, so... but I think... Otter should be a good secondary option, although it might indicate to some people that you're a furry, which I don't know if you're chill with that. You may not, so you know. So we have a couple of things to talk about this week, although I will mention that before the show,
thinking of where this is going.
Yeah, before the show, we were having a very wonderful discussion about this piece of Dark Souls fan art that I saw on my Twitter timeline, and we'll link it in the show notes for the episode, and comparing the boob size of the fan art to how big the boobs of this character are in Dark Souls. And Tyler, I don't know what character this is, so we should probably explain.
Guinevere. I don't know if should I be spoiling Dark Souls in 2018?
If people haven't played the first Dark Souls and they don't,
I don't know, she's just a character spoilers. In the game, and she's, the goddess of fertility, I think? And you meet her at some point, and she has giant boobs.
Yeah.
And I think the Design Works, which is, the art book, they released an art book, and it had an interview with the game director, and he talked about, I forget exactly what it was, but it was something like, I just wanted to make a character that was the goddess of fertility or whatever, and somebody thought it would be funny on my art team or whoever was modeling her to crank up the boob slider, essentially, just make her boobs big. And he was I was fine with it, whatever. I didn't really want it that way, but whatever. They made it that way, so whatever. So I just thought that was funny. But it's now a thing, because you can leave player notes in Dark Souls, so you can say stuff treasure ahead and stuff like that to help people out, and pretty much all of the things right before her room to say amazing chest ahead or amazing view ahead.
Yeah, because it's, you basically see her and she's lounging on a chaise lounge, and she's sort of propped herself up on a bunch of pillows, so much so that her arms are kind of crossed, and her pendulous bosom is basically hanging over her arms.
It's a lot.
But it's a lot, because it's
because
she has a boob window too. She has a boob window, and but
we
it's,
have to link the art now in the notes.
Yeah, we'll have to link the art and the picture of the actual character.
It sucks because if I could spoil it, which I'm not going to, but if I could, there's something to be said about Guinevere. But that kind of subverts this whole thing. But yeah.
But yeah, but it's here's the weird part about it, about number one, the fan art, and number two, the character itself, is despite the fact that the boobs are really big and kind of globular in their appearance, looking at the picture of screenshots from inside the game, they're not that unrealistic looking. Hmm. That's the thing, is they're not actually that unrealistic looking. Like, yes, the cleavage is pretty deep, but here's the thing that a lot of game designers don't get right, is that when a woman or anybody with boobs has bigger ones, they have their own gravity, because boobs are sacks of fat. It's sacks of fat material. So they hang. And especially as you get older, they hang and they sit on things. So like, if you lean over onto something, your boobs will hit the surface and then sit on it. So this Guinevere character in the game, as she's posed, her boobs are like sitting on top of her arms. And that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they're still a little bit too round, I think, in some way. Like, you know.
That's what the art, like, they weren't as round, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, is the fan art that we saw, the boobs weren't as round. They had a little bit more of, like, the common, like, sort of deflation that happens when, like, as you get older, because a lot of the roundness comes from boobs sitting higher up on the chest when you're younger, and that's why they're perky and they have more of, like, an overall, like, globe appearance. But as you get older, they, like, sit farther back on the chest wall and they sit lower, so they sort of like have like you have like a folded area underneath, like you have space underneath them as they like sort of sag, so they get more of like a teardrop look to them, even though they're very big. So this fan art, we were like sitting here comparing, is it bigger in the game or is it bigger in the fan art?
And it's hard to tell, because it's like it's kind of like a trait for her now. Like, everyone makes sure to draw her boobs really big, so it's like
yes. But I'm really impressed with this piece of fan art, who will credit them in the notes, because I don't 100% know.
Yeah, their name is, like, not English, I don't
think. Their name's not English, like so I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not going to butcher it. But it's really interesting to see fan art that looks... It's always really nice to see, like, fan art of what is obviously a big-boobed character be drawn realistically. Yeah. But also, I'm looking at the Dark Souls, like, model, and it also isn't that unrealistic given the state of, like, big boobs in video games these days, honestly.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know why that is, I wonder. Like, I guess I, given the interview answer, I doubt that somebody really, really thought about the way boobs work when they did that, but maybe, I really doubt it. I feel like somebody actually just made them really big, but maybe it's like, I don't know how, maybe it was like luck that it looks normal.
Yeah, it's funny because Dark Souls just got remastered, so now they're like boobs in high definition. It honestly kind of depends on what angle you're looking at them from.
Yeah,
but
I mean the primary angle when you meet her is just straight on, but
straight on. Yeah. But I think what helps is that
actually I don't even know if well, you can go to the side kinda. Yeah.
The way that the like cloth she's wearing is draped on them is there's so many like folds and wrinkles that it definitely gives the appearance that they're like leaning against, like the fabric is basically holding them back, and not in like a super unrealistic way. Video game boobs are always so terrible because they're not animated correctly, and they don't have a proper sense of gravity, and they don't react to like clothing very well because of how like all those physics must work. But so I guess kind of the summary from this is just like Dark Souls did it okay, I suppose. Like,
I guess another reason Dark Souls is really good.
So I guess that's kind of like our Dark Souls discussion for today. But I was actually sort of impressed that like the Guinevere in Dark Souls has vaguely realistic looking boobs, I guess, like, but mostly that the fan art seems to. Like, this, I have to say, though, this is the fan art of Dark Souls that I've seen that does get it sort of correct versus all the other Dark Souls fan art that, it's definitely not realistic, so. Yeah, but we have other things besides boobs to talk. Do we? Yeah, I guess we do. We have show notes, but.
I mean, it says, okay. I was going to say, it says Junker Queen in here, but yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, so if we. If you want to talk about more boobs in video games, Junker Queen is being heavily speculated right now as being the upcoming Overwatch hero. Tyler, do you want to talk a little bit about why that is?
Like the Overwatch Twitter account usually teases new heroes and new maps, just any new, well, usually it's just heroes or maps, right? They don't ever tease like PTR stuff, but
they
put up an image that was like taken from one of the newer maps, Rialto, that takes place in like Venice, right? And it was like a close-up of a wall, and it had a bunch of like, it had like a, would you call it like spray paint? Because it was like not actual a poster of Lucio.
They look like sort of an approximation of posters that were pasted up in some fashion or painted, like painted, mural
somehow.
Painted.
It's got a bunch of stuff on
and stuff. It's got a bunch of stuff.
It's got like Lucio, which is a character already in the game, and then it's got a picture. It's not a picture of Junker Queen, I don't think, right? Like it's just saying like there's a queen of Junkertown or something like that, because Junkertown's another map that was kind of is a little bit more recently released. It was and then they also have a tease about Horizon, which is another map, and so it's kind of like it's like a collage of things that are in the game that people you could speculate on, because some people think there's going to be a short that has Lucio in it too. But the one thing that people wanted for a while is the Junker Queen to be in the game, because she's in the Junkertown map. She like talks to you and you capture the first point. And I think her throne is like the final area, the final like point that you capture as an attacker. And people, and there's like posters of her. So people really like a lot of the fandom has really wanted the Junker Queen to be a hero, because they've done that. Like there's a bunch of Doomfist posters in Numbani, and that, you know, he became a hero. So it's like people, you know, you latch on to the characters they see in the maps and they want that character, and it seems like that could be the next one. There was something last night, there was a tweet of the throne that had like missing weapons, because her weapons are next to it, but those weapons can just be hit, like you just melee them and like shoot them away from the throne. So I'm pretty sure that tweet was fake, because they said that, because PTR is up, which is like the test realm for all the stuff they do before it goes live. The test server, not realm. you can tell I'm a WoW player. So the weapons are still there in the PTR, but the one notable thing is she doesn't talk over the speakerphone, or like over the like, I guess like speakerphone for when you capture the first point on Junkertown. So that's interesting. I mean, it could be a bug where she just doesn't have the voice lines, but, you know, they did a teaser and now she's not talking. Is she not there anymore? Is she gonna become a new hero? I don't know. So
Because that was kind of like one of the like interesting features of that map, was that when you do capture the first point, she goes, "Welcome to Junkertown," like that, and it was like very.
And
like,
she talks to like Roadhog and Junkrat, right? Doesn't she directly talk to them? And like even Zenyatta, she calls them like a trash heap or something, whatever.
Something like that. Like she would like sort of do like, you know, over loudspeaker chatter.
Yeah,
and it's obviously her throne at the very end on the last point, the capture point. It's interesting though, because as much as they've like, teased her being a character in universe, like she's actually tied really closely into like, she's tied really closely into Junkrat and Roadhog's story,
right,
as we saw.
And they're popular characters, so it's
they're popular characters.
It makes sense. The one thing that's tricky though is they definitely like Blizzard really likes to have characters that aren't just in the game too. So it's hard to tell when it's like. Because, I don't know, I wonder sometimes if the Junkertown Queen is really just a, like, really cool character for the map, to kind of give the map some, like, characteristics.
Some flavor.
Yeah,
because, they've included characters all over their, like, comics.
The guy in Hollywood
and
who talks to you, the actor guy or whatever? Yeah. He's kind of funny.
The director. Yeah. But no one's, like, clamoring for, like, a director character, which is funny, which is good, because he sounds like a dick.
Yeah, but, I mean, they like to give their maps a little bit more, like, flavor than just, like, here's a game, or here's a map where you shoot each other, so.
It's supposed to, like, they always have, like, little, like, lore things, like, little bits and baubles that sort of relate to the story, like, the upcoming Horizon like map rework actually has more.
Oh, I
lore,
forgot about that. Yeah,
more lore about how Winston escaped from the moon base,
right?
And came to Earth,
and it has stuff where it's like Hammond used like attached to his pod, to Winston's pod, to come back.
Yeah.
So basically. And there is. Oh, I didn't mention this too. There's like the pictures of like like I guess gorillas. Are they gorillas? They I always get this confused. Is it a monkey?
It's a gorilla.
Gorilla. There's like gorillas on the wall, the original tweet that the Overwatch Twitter account put out. So people are thinking maybe it's also Hammond. Hammond's another character that people want as another hero because they want another like Winston type of hero. I mean, not that he would play like Winston, but they want another gorilla, I guess.
Which is okay. So let's. Yeah. I think we should actually talk about what new hero speculation really kind of means in kind of the larger context. Yeah. Is like because we're in the Overwatch Discord that both of us. Are in the that I started.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this week, and I would be so offended on every possible level if we got another talking animal versus like a black woman in the character.
Yeah.
Like a
black especially woman since in Overwatch. The game has diverse heroes elsewhere. Like, but for some reason we just don't have like a black woman yet for some, and I don't know why, because there's characters in the games like lore that are there, but it's one of those things. Yeah,
we also don't have anybody who represents like indigenous cultures of any stripe, and I'm not like, I'm gonna be clear here, I do not give a shit about the fucking retcon with Farrah that has not been like conclusively put out there. Her dad, don't care. I think that was still to cover their ass about the fucking racist ass skins they gave her. But like, we don't have any actual like indigenous characters, whether it's, you know, like you know, Pacific Islanders or First Nations or, you know, native, you know, native people from like the Americas or Central America or South America or anywhere, like, you know, like it just doesn't seem to be any of that. We don't have any like black women. We have like a lot of just different kinds of women that aren't represented in the game either yet. So
yeah, I mean, like the last one was
man, if we got another animal, I would just be mad.
Yeah.
We have robots. We have more robots than black women in this game.
Yeah. We keep getting women, but we don't get
And so that's the interesting thing about speculation about Junker Queen is if they did put Junker Queen in the game, I would be like happy about that, but if she's just another like white Australian lady,
They could do better. They could do better considering they've done better with what they like started with and like in characters like Anna and stuff. Like, they could just do better.
Yeah,
especially since it doesn't seem to be something that like stops them at all. Like, they totally are for really diversifying the rosters. So it's like, why not?
It's interesting because with Overwatch, it always feels like two steps forwards, one step back. Like, the fact that we have like a wonderful character like Symmetra in the game, who is a canonically, you know, autistic Indian woman,
who doesn't have a flag icon. I'm still mad about
who doesn't have a flag. She doesn't have a flag icon. There's no
there's flags flag for of every India. Other like nationality. Yeah, and it's like, and there's one for like Nambani.
Bonnie, which is isn't a real African country. It's not real.
and somebody, and there was a tweet too recently that was somebody like, hey, could you put in a flag for it was another character that doesn't have one, and it was like another, it was like not Torb, I don't know, it was some character, and they're like, oh yeah, we'll look into that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, why isn't anybody asking about the India flag? But okay, like,
so it would be, I think if they did implement Junker Queen, if they were gonna go in that direction for her, I would really like to see somebody who represented the indigenous people of Australia a little bit more, considering that they are in the outback. But yeah, I would really like it if they actually kept her, like, made her like somebody who represents indigenous Australians, or, you know, or the indigenous people that, you know, are in Australia. Or even like represents, you know, indigenous people from like that area, even, because they've sort of like tried to like gesture at that a little bit with like Roadhog, because he also has like weird costumey skins that also seem to draw from like New Zealand, like Maori sort of stuff, and also other sort of Pacific Island sort of cultures, but not quite. They're kind of like a mishmash, so it's sort of like the Farrah situation again, but like It would be cool if they kind of like went in that direction and didn't make just another white lady to put in the game.
Because I think some of the other stuff was like, I know people have been just criticizing like having characters that are just sort of like related to the ones we already have, which is, I mean, not that Anna's bad or anything, but it's just like we and Brigitte, but it's like, you know, we want something completely new because everyone likes this. I don't know. Everyone likes every character in the game. It seems like everyone has like a fondness for at least one of them. So it's like there's totally room to have characters that for anybody kind of thing. So they don't have to be they don't have to be like already connected to somebody we already like. Like people are willing to take somebody new.
Oh so, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Which is why I thought they might like introduce an Italian character for the Rialto map. Or yeah. But also
there's a Omnic on the Rialto map, which is like a, I think it's like a artist or something. And some people thought that maybe it would be her, I think, but I don't like, she's just a poster there and there, she's not on that like tweet at the wall, but it is Rialto, the map the tweet put takes place in, but so
you could also have an Italian character that's black too.
Yeah.
Still be a black woman. So, you know, like there's so many opportunities to do so many different things with a new character that don't even touch like gameplay or role or whatever, and it's just kind of like representing people and
they have totally shown that they don't super care about that part of it. They'll make a character whatever they want, it seems like. So compared to other companies, like other companies don't do this, like, so it's we're really close, but you could do more. So Apple and I have been playing LA Noire on my Twitch streams, and we're pretty much near the end now, and I was thinking, like, we've been through a lot with that game. What did it come out? It came out in 2012?
Well?
Yeah. So, yeah, and it takes place in, like, 1940, 50-ish?
It takes place sort of roughly between 1945 and 1947.
Yeah. So it was one of those games where I know it's a Team Bondi game, which is a developer that you maybe have never heard of because they shut down after making this game. But Rockstar published it. And I think, I don't know, like it was always one of those confusing things when it came out because everyone assumed it was like a Grand Theft Auto game because it had the Rockstar name on it. But Rockstar was only publishing it. So it was more like there was an old series before or around the time of early Grand Theft Auto called The Getaway or something like that, or Getaway or something. I think it's like a name like that. This is directed by somebody who did the Getaway games, I guess. So it's more like a game like that's kind of Grand Theft Auto in terms of like scope, but it's definitely not Grand Theft Auto in like gameplay, other than like driving through a big open world. So that was one thing that came up when it came out. But so the other thing about that is I think a lot of people treated it like it was a Grand Theft Auto game. And at the time, like games press and stuff, like games journalism was kind of, I don't know, I guess having like less like tech review-y game reviews, you know, everyone was looking into like real criticism of games. So this was kind of like a high point for, you know, just games, I guess, coming out and actually people taking them that way seriously, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I remember playing it then and thinking like, yeah, this is like really like mature and like and like has like a lot going on or whatever. But now going back to it, and there was a lot of, and I think it got a lot of like praise. I think it got a lot of praise for being just like really I don't know, like really like adherent to like its noir tone, and it's like it just having like a it's a game about just like searching for clues and like interrogating people and not much more. Like it has combat, like shooting and stuff, but it's not just like a game where you just shoot a bunch of people, right? It's a lot of talking. So that was kind of new too, because at the time, you know, a lot of the games were just like Call of Duty and stuff like that. So but now going back to the game, I've realized like it's not really good in a lot of respects. I remembered it really fondly. But going back to it, there is stuff I do like about it, like which we've talked about, is a lot of the like walking around like the different places, because it's a big open world and you're like going into houses and looking for like you know, like clues and stuff, and you're going into like big buildings and apartment buildings and stuff like that to you know, further along a case that you're working on. That stuff is really cool, but yeah, like the story is kind of wonky and it's super racist and
misogynistic.
It's of the time with quotations, but it's like it has no criticism of any of that. It doesn't have any
no.
like point of view on any of that. It's just like, yeah, this happened, so let's just have a character be super misogynistic, and you just know that that's okay, or not okay, but it was okay here because it's 1940 whatever.
Which is funny because it's made by developers who were not alive in that time period at all. It's just what our current or what the current or what the current of 2012's conceptualization of that time period was. And so much of what our understanding of that time period is like media culture, which is so different from how people actually like lived in that era. So a lot of it is like developers from the mid 2000s or the late 2000s. Yeah,
because The Getaway was like 2000-ish. That's what, and that's the director of the game is like working on those.
And what their take on what they think 1940s was like based on like, other popular media. Because
they clearly 1940s. Have watched like Zodiac, David Fincher's Zodiac, and like
LA Confidential.
LA Confidential, 100%. Obviously. Yeah, like.
Oh my God. Which I haven't seen, like if you. Wait, I'm going to make you watch that movie because there are so many times that I'm playing LA Noir with you where I'm just like, this is done so much better in LA Confidential because LA Confidential gets the ability to stand as a contained story in 2 hours. So it can really kind of work so much harder on the like, feel and mood and atmosphere that I really think doesn't happen in LA Noir as a game because so much it is the procedure and mechanics of like going to a house, doing this, whereas
body and
which is weird, like whereas like a movie can really kind of soak you in that like aesthetic and the like corruption because it's all just kind of like all of these like stories that have very directed, purposeful things sort of like kind of all coming together with like a visual style, whereas like the game focuses so much on like the tech of just getting the facial recognition stuff right.
Yeah, and that, having like, you kind I of think... like yeah, we should maybe talk about the facial thing. Yeah. So like the facial so the big thing with the game too, and this was actually like Team Bondi's like thing, I guess, was like they have a setup with like a, I forget how many cameras. There's like videos of it. There's a bunch of cameras in like a big circle or almost like an orbit around like a person. Mm-hmm. And then they take like a bunch of screen or a bunch of shots of them while they're doing like lines. And then it has like really, well, accurate with quotations, I guess, like accurate facial expressions for the characters. So like, but they use actors. So it's like, what was it, Aaron Staten
from Mad
Men.
Yeah.
I forget who he was in Mad Men now. But anyway, he's the main character.
He's a guy.
He was a guy. Something with an S. I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, he's the main character. And I mean, every character is like this in the game. But like, even the people like on the sidewalk too, which is weird. But they like all have like, it just looks like you're watching almost like a video feed of like a face talking on a modeled body. And that sounds horrible, but like sometimes it is horrible. But I mean, like when you get used to the game, I feel like it's always off, but it is like, you can, you know, for some, like we talked about with like the Leland guy, it kind of works for some characters, especially, or like actors with like really kind of expression,
Leland Monroe, who's a character, is played like by John Noble of Fringe fame, who has this beautiful, expressive, craggy ass fucking face,
right. And it works.
So like, it works so well on for this thing. So he looks like a like portrait painting of himself. Yeah. As
there's something character. Like you said, I think you were going to say like there's no aesthetic for the game, and I would say there is. I feel like there is an aesthetic, but
I think there's an aesthetic, but I don't think it can be as deep.
Oh yeah, I don't think it's as deep, and I don't think it's not used for anything more than just like
set dressing.
Yeah, set dressing. But it does have that is sort of interesting to me that it has characters that like, because so a lot of the game is like talking to people and then trying to figure out if they're lying to you or if they're telling the truth, and you have to like look at like exaggerated facial expressions because that's kind of always the game's, that's been our biggest issue, is the game's like internal problem of like fighting with itself in terms of like giving the player information and through like game mechanics or letting you sort of infer based on like information you know, as like, because you're a detective, and there's definitely spots where it's like, wait, wouldn't this person do this because of X or Y? And then the game's like, well, but they're lying because look at their face. They're doing a really exaggerated look away.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so we have to look at the facial expression and say they're lying, not like think about the actual like a motive for this person or whatever it is. You know, that happens all the time. We got a lot of like answers wrong. And thankfully the game will just continue if you get like, if you like say
stuff
something, if you get stuff wrong in the interrogations, which are kind of the main point of the game. But, you know, it's not satisfying to just have the game be like, no, you're wrong, especially when you lose information and then you get to the final part of the case and it's like, oh, yeah, this person did this or whatever, is like a child molester or something, is like one of them. And we had no idea that was a thing because we just missed like a question.
One.
Yeah, we missed one
and it ruined
like the whole case. Or like it's actually really interesting because it's almost like they designed the game and were like, well, if they miss one, we'll let them keep going. They'll still finish it, but they don't understand that, like, you have to have the information for, like, the narrative to be satisfying. So, since there is no real gamey parts, like, you're not, like, there is shooting, but it's not all about, like, shooting. So it's not like, oh, I died, now I'm like, not satisfied. Because you're only, like, the only thing you care about in that game is, like, whether or not you really figured out the case and if you, like, you know, locked up the right person. If you don't get that information, then that's actually really unsatisfying relative to all the other stuff. So when you miss one thing and don't get it, you feel really bad because it's like, I didn't know. Okay, I guess I got the wrong guy, or like I did the right guy, but like I didn't even know he did all this other stuff. Okay, like it feels really weird and bad, which is interesting because a lot of games, you know, the times you ever feel bad are just like usually you dying or something because it's so action based. You know, so that's it's sort of interesting that that's like the failure state is just like being unsatisfied.
Which is like, I think that that's a real failure of the game on both a genre level and also a game level, is because so much of that game's appeal is hung up on the idea that you're working through these like stories and these crimes. And it doesn't feel like until we got to like the end game, basically, when all of the stories and the cases started to kind of converge on each other and start to like
the broader build story and starts deepen to come
the,
together,
like, meta narrative. The broader story with all of
it
the starts, characters
because it's always
involved,
seeped a little bit
that it
in,
actually
but,
felt like it was a satisfying game. Whereas like there were so many early cases where we would miss one thing, and the story that we should understand as it related to the case just wouldn't reveal itself because we just missed,
and it gives
a
you like a score screen at
a
the end
interaction and did it wrong.
Yeah.
And just like, like there were like the case with the child molester, we had no idea that there was like a child molester involved because we missed like one clue. And like, now I sort of caught on to it a little bit. So we sort of had an understanding,
but we didn't have like the mechanics to like express our thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it just felt like we just weren't participating in the game at all, which is like, that's one of the reasons why so much of like, that's one of the reasons why I think trying to do a noir game with that many sort of visual and like technical mechanics going into it is really difficult because
it makes
to kind of, to jump back to the aesthetic thing. So much about noir is like time, place, but also the look of it
too. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was thinking like, maybe it's one of those genres where it's like, oh, there's a reason it's in film because, I mean, I know books, there's definitely like, obviously like books and stuff that are noir, but they came before films. Right. But
Oh, definitely. 100%.
But like, I wonder if it's one of those things where it's like, well, the constraints of those are in such a way that like noir makes really good sense in like novels or film. And you'd have to make your game very limited, I guess, your game couldn't be like an open world game where everything kind of goes like it, like LA Noir a little bit, to have noir be an aesthetic and actually be effective, which is actually kind of interesting because you haven't played Wolf Among Us, which is Telltale's game, and that's noir. It's like, it's based on like the Fables series, comic series, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fables.
Yeah. I heard that was really good.
Yeah, so
in
that's
terms
noir,
of like,
and because that's way more limited and constrained by just being a story and like no real options, I actually wonder if that is a better noir game than LA Noir.
That actually might be the case. Yeah. Like, I mean, I like, that's the thing. Those are the, like, two big things that kind of I came away with this game. Number one was kind of, like, a little bit what we were talking about earlier, which is, like, this came out in 2012, yeah. And it has a lot of, like, problematic language. And it's really interesting that if this game had come out now, it would be completely fucking, like, excoriated.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it would be just destroyed, yeah.
Panned. It's just bad. Panned it's because of, like, yeah. It's garbage, and it also has so much problematic language and, like, really shitty stuff in it. But the second thing is, like, as much as I don't like Frank Miller, mm-hmm. the stuff that he did with Sin City, which okay, was basically yeah. taking noir... visuals mm-hmm. and distilling them down to like their bare bones, the visual elements of noir, the black and white with the splash of color and the grittiness and the grunginess, and then because it was a visual, you know, like comics and visual novels, he could just crank that shit up to like 15, mm-hmm. which didn't work for the writing, definitely worked for the visuals. It definitely made that like noir feeling. Like there's barely any moments in LA noir where it's like extended periods of nighttime or cloudiness or rain or any other thing that movies and books and
yeah.
other media have used to indicate that just oppressive gloom that just right. sort of is baked into what noir is, which is just that desolation, that lack of ability to kind of grind against the like structures and machines of society, like
and they try to do that over time with like, here's a case where you're locking people up that clearly didn't do it,
they don't dally on yeah. it for very long. Like
there's no consequences to any of it. There's no like, you move on to the next case, it gives you a score screen, yeah. hey, you got 5 stars or you got 3 stars, and then you move on.
Yeah.
And I think
and there's obviously corruption,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's corruption.
Like, there's corruption.
Funny because it's like, that stuff to me is like, oh, we were making a video game, so people want 100% this, so we got to give them, like, a score screen. And, I feel like Eleanor would have been a much better game if someone really, really adhered to, like, the narrative that it kind of wants to do. Like, if they fully committed to that, I feel like it'd be a lot better of a game because it seems like it would have room to, like, say something. But instead, it's always yeah. trying to just, like, carry the gameplay stuff. And
uh-huh.
that is where... And that's, like, that's a lot of games. That's, like, most games, even today. But that's just... It's, mm-hmm. it's like, really... It's, like, kind of tragic because I think that the game... Another thing we talk about a lot in the streams... is it's a giant open world that's like a recreation of like LA, and it's like really yeah. accurate. Like I believe there might be a story out there from some website that back then that like somebody went around and like took pictures in the game and then took pictures like in LA, and like that is very accurate. And it's like that whole open world you don't really go into at all. Like you don't, like I skip to like every, you can like have your partner drive to everywhere you need to go, mm-hmm. and I do that like all the time on the streams just to like save time. But you can, like, drive around if you want, but there's, like, and there is, like, a couple side things you can do occasionally, but that whole world, and there's even buildings you can go into that you never need to go into for the story, is, like, the whole world is built for, like, nothing, and it sucks because it's, like, if the game had more, like, actual narrative, like, you know, propulsion for, like, you to actually, like, go around and want to be in that world, because it does turn nighttime, it does rain, right? Or maybe it doesn't rain, but, like, it definitely goes, like, nighttime, and it looks really cool. But there's no reason to ever yeah. be in the environment or anything. And so that, I think that's another way it doesn't really, like, use what it has. Like, yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And I think if they did that, they could totally, like, force you to drive in the rain, like you're talking about. And wouldn't that be a lot better representation of noir? If it was like, no, you got to yeah. drive and have, like, these conversations. Because it does conversations while you're driving, too, which is actually cool.
Yeah.
And it, like, I feel like that'd be better. Like, it's right there. They have the tools, like, they have the environment, they have the world to do that in, but they didn't, because they want to make it to where, like, you can just get everywhere and just get the cases done and, like, and repeat them. Like, it feels really yeah. gamey in that way, and it's, like, it's just sad, because I feel like the game... There's not games like LA Noir. Despite LA Noir being bad, like we've talked about, there's not a lot of games where you actually mostly just, like, read things, talk about things with people, and then, like, drive to places.
Mm-hmm.
That's really unique. Yeah. It still is unique, but like, I don't think any big developers like can justify making a game about that without multiplayer, or like, you know, without like shooting. I guess. I mean, there is shooting in yeah. Noir, but like,
It basically made a promise it didn't keep in a lot of ways, because it also, like, so much about the noir genre is, it, like, basically if they had called this literally anything but LA Noir, I think it would have just worked. And but it's interesting because, like, even the title screen of the game is setting you up for that, like,
yeah, it's like
back alley jazz. Detective stuff. But then they make the most, like, white bread, like, upscale, like, decorated war hero protagonist, and that's, like, not the protagonist of noir. Like, noir stuff tends to have to be somebody who works outside of the law, is down on his luck, is in a really shitty situation, and Cole Phelps doesn't fucking swing a shitty situation until... He gets told how good he is, like, all the fucking time.
Is this the, like, the veteran that did this or whatever? And
Yeah. So, like, he doesn't swing a shitty situation until maybe near the end of the game, and it's not even that bad because it's of his own making.
Right. Like, and I feel like the story is someone who thinks they understand LA Noir, or LA Noir, I keep saying LA Noir, who thinks they understand noir but don't, and then, like, tried to subvert it by, like, what if our main character was good, but then, like, is kind of bad? like they just threw a bunch of ideas and they're like, they really didn't understand any of that, really. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, if they had called it something else, I think it would have... If they had called it, like, you know, like, L.A. Crime or L.A. Story or L.A.
L.A. Story
or something.
That's, yep.
I mean,
I guess there's a reason you don't name games, but yeah. Well, I mean...
It would have worked
It would have worked better because it wouldn't sell you on the promise of noir, which is... I just feel like there's definitely stuff in the game that's like, well... Cops are corrupt, so we'll just have somebody say the word corrupt, and then that'll be good enough, and then we'll just have, like, black and white. You can actually play the game in black and white, which we haven't done, but also it does, like, it. I think when it does title screens, it's black and white for a moment, and then, like, fades to color.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's, like, there's
also, it also fades to black and white when you're closer to dying.
Yes, yeah, it does.
Which I think is... fucking weird.
A lot of games actually do that, but yeah, a lot of games will, like, desaturate when you get hit. I think Gears of War maybe made it popular. I'm pretty sure Gears of War does it. The other thing too is that a lot of games have film grain now too, which is something I didn't know. So, like, I didn't know for the longest time that Mass Effect had film grain. Yeah, it has film grain because originally it was supposed to be, like, a take on, like, old sci-fi movies.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and it has a film grain on and off option. And then the rest of them, I think, maybe they got rid of it after 3, but I'm pretty sure 2 has film grain.
Do video games not... And I guess, I mean, this ties into our discussion about not understanding, like, film noir, like, film noir stuff. Film grain isn't an aesthetic choice for video games the way you think it is for film. Film grain shows up because film... is real and has a grain to it because it's developed. And I know that, like, digital film also tries to ape that now in order to kind of, like, you know, like, duplicate that effect because they aren't working on film, but they still want to kind of give it that look. And that is an aesthetic choice. But for video games to see, like, oh, well, we're going to make it look old, so we're going to give it film grain without sort of, like, recognizing, like, kind of what kind of comes with that is, I don't know, I find stuff like that really funny. And I know that Geeta Jackson's actually written a lot about how video games try to, like, ape the cinematic without really kind of 100% understanding, like, what those things are used for and kind of how they're, like, deployed. I feel like LA Noir sort of kind of understood how, like, police procedural sort of films work and sort of, like, what's cool about them, which is, like, the big, like, showpieces and the architecture and the garb and, like, the, like, scenes in the interrogation room and slamming your hands down on a desk, but that they don't understand how to make that work really well for, like, the video game aspect of it. So it's, like, so clunky at times. And the, like, clash between what noir is as a genre in film and books and television and comic books and stuff, clashes so heavily with what video games predominantly make for protagonists, which is that a winner, a hero, And so it's really fascinating to see Cole Phelps basically be caught in the middle of like, well, we don't want the video game player to really think too hard about being a shitty cop, or to like really kind of like
that's our twist, or like that's our
yeah. We don't want them to think too hard about that, because we still want them to feel like Cole Phelps is like a is like an extension of them, and that they're a good person or something like that. So we're gonna like make him still like a hero, versus like what LA Noir protagonist or like what noir protagonists typically are, which is like, you know, scumbucket with a heart of gold, but tries to do the right thing, but is ground down by the system, you know, like that sort of stuff. So it is kind of fascinating to see a video game try so hard to like ape something else and just not land it at all.
Yeah. So it almost sometimes, the way a lot of games will do that with like the protagonist that like you're supposed to identify with, sometimes it feels like, to me, almost like a fear that like, well, nobody would want to spend time as this character if they weren't like, if they were abhorrent or something, you know, like,
yeah,
which is funny because like is... you know, that's not how stories work. Like if the if there's a story that is compelling, that it doesn't matter if you like the character, because maybe you're supposed to not like them, and that's okay, because that's a story. Like that's just
but I think that essential division of like that tug is why so many video games just won't experiment, is because they're like, well, a player has to play through this, and it would be risky to not make the player character feel good about themselves. So we're going to completely like fuck up this like well-known genre construction so they don't feel like a bad person, where it's like, your game is about cops.
Yeah.
Your game is about corrupt cops. You're not going to be a good person. That's okay. But, you know, think about the audience. You know, I think a lot more games are trying to do that now.
Really. They are.
Yeah. They're trying now. But this was 2012. And I feel like this was like, it's funny, this is only 6 years ago, but it feels like a way different time.
It was, I think.
Yeah, it was. It was.
In terms of just being aware of what they are and what they can be, including and when I say that, I guess I'm all, like, I'm talking a lot about like bigger games. I know that like a lot of smaller games have been a lot more experimental and tried this stuff and have done this stuff better, but a lot of the big budget games, like
AAA,
those games have grown a lot, even though, like, I know we just taught, we just had an episode where we just complained about how they haven't grown, but like I think there is a lot of difference between like an LA Noir and something that's come out today. I can't even think of like an, I mean, like even the new Grand Theft Auto game, like,
well, God of War.
Okay, God of War, what, like you're saying that's bad?
No, I think that that's still a place where we could push harder.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We could always push harder.
Of like, oh, yeah, like, he's a bad guy. Yeah. But as long as he, like, feels sort of kind of bad about it, then he becomes, like, a redeemable character.
Yeah, like, the redemption of
bad
guys is also not the
I think we're, like, at least have moved to a place where they can recognize that the character is bad and, like, give them, like, a redemption arc, even though I think that's complete bullshit all the fucking time and I'm, like, completely sick of it. But it's so different from, like, having to always make the character, like, good, even though he is surrounded by a river of fucking shit all the time.
Right.
Like, and then also cheats on his wife, but, like, you know. So funny.
Yeah.
There's like literal cops like dealing drugs and shit like that, and like hurting poor people and women, and want to beat women, but
and just say this like in the car with you as you're going to your next case.
Yeah.
And like there's no I mean, like, sometimes Cole says something, but it's never, which is the main character, but like otherwise nobody cares. The game is like, yep, that's this time, that's him, that's Rusty.
Yep. So it's like, I feel like we've moved a little bit. I think the goalposts have sort of moved a little bit, but definitely. It's funny because I still see a direct line between
There are still Cole Phelps. Yeah, Cole Phelps exists in other games. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, but I think what's changed a lot more than just the games is how we talk about games.
Yeah, I guess maybe, honestly, maybe it's less the games that's changed, like I said earlier, is it's more just the way that people talk about them, which is good, which is, I think, having an effect
which
on
is
the
good.
Games.
Yeah.
But
no, for sure. It's how we talk about them is definitely different than 2012.
Wait a minute, 20...
Yeah, that...
Was it 20... That's weird, because 2012, 2013 is when BioShock Infinite came out.
Oh, really?
I think 2013. I'm pretty sure it's 2013. So that's interesting.
That is interesting. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That'll be a topic for another yeah. podcast, because yeah, that's a whole other kettle of fish. Yeah, so those are kind of the things that are kind of bouncing around our head this week, and definitely if you're interested in kind of seeing more of our like broad in the moment thoughts about LA Noir, Tyler, you have a full playlist with all of our playthrough stuff.
Yeah, it's all on my YouTube, which I figured out a better link than last week. It's just youtube.com/Tyler_Culp, C-O-L-P. So that's an easier link to get there. But it's there. They're all there.
Yeah.
All 20 something hours.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's been so many hours. So that's our show for this week, and we're really excited that we've gotten so many people that are listening to the show. We're probably going to make a new Twitter since we lost our Twitter account the first day that our podcast is out. So look out for that. We'll probably have a new Twitter, but we are up on iTunes. So if you do like the show, a rating and a review would go a super long way. It would be super awesome if you could do that for us. It really helps us out. Also, if you have any questions or comments that you want to let us know, we have an email. What's that email, Tyler?
I don't know.
Okay. It's makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com.
Okay. I didn't know if you did like M-I-S-F, so.
Okay. No, I did. It's makeitsoundfiction, all the words. So makeitsoundfiction. So you could write us there if you have any questions or comments or anything you want to let us know. Super cool. Also, okay, so Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
I am on Twitter @TylerCulp, C-O-L-P. And I'm also, like I said, on YouTube, which is just Tyler_C-O-L-P. And then I'm also on Twitch, which is twitch.com/OtterXPop.
Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Twitter @ApplesiderWitch. Also on Twitch is AppleCiderWitch. I don't have a YouTube really yet, so, you know, whatever. and so, yes, thank you for listening this week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.